Let us be seated as we pray. Lord Jesus, your name is the name above all names, and we worship you in spirit and in truth. When we proclaim your name, Lord, your power and majesty are revealed to us. Your faithfulness and your love become manifest in our hearts. So great a Savior are you. We thank you, Lord, for coming and living with us, dying for us, bearing all of our sin. And we thank you for coming to life again, that you might bring us all into life with you forever. And Lord, while we are still here, and as we wait for you, would you equip us with all things, the fullness of your Spirit, that we might love you and love others well? Would you grant us a spirit of courage and boldness to proclaim your word, your gospel of truth, that all might know the width and depth of your love? We thank you, Lord God, for this plan you had before the foundations of the world to bring us into your family, to bring us into your presence forever. And we are a grateful people. Father, we thank you for your love and your compassion, for your grace upon grace for us, for second chances upon second chances. There is no one like you. Lord, this day, it is our joy to pray for St. Patrick's Catholic Church. We thank you for this life and ministry in our midst. Would you bless with abundance the priests and the congregation of St. Patrick's? Would your Holy Spirit be mighty with them this day as they celebrate you and they look to you? Lord, we thank you. You are a God who hears all of our prayers. We thank you for your bride here in Sedalia and all around the world. Would you strengthen them with the fullness of your Spirit this day? We thank you. Jesus, we thank you that you are fully trustworthy, that your words bring life and hope. And we thank you for teaching us how to pray and to have relationship with God. You are the beautiful one. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So who doesn't love a good courtroom scene? Whether it's produced by Hollywood or lived out on the stage of our life. From moments like, if it doesn't fit, we must acquit, to the general's outburst, you want the truth, you can't handle the truth. Courtrooms have had their fair share of entertainment mixed with matters of life and death. One of my all-time favorites reaches way back to when George Burns was playing God in a movie entitled Oh God. He has been summoned to the stands to witness to the fact that he is God. He takes a seat and he says, I promise to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me, me. In a few moments, we're going to catch up with Paul, for he himself is found on trial today for his beliefs and his witness to Jesus. But first, let's pray together. God, we thank you for the beauty of this morning. For the dawn of a brand new day marks a fresh start and a brand new beginning. Thank you for release from the past. Thank you for hope in our futures. Help us in these moments, Lord, to allow your life to be shaped in us as the word of life becomes alive among us. Teach us your ways, Lord. Help us to be your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we are finishing our series in the Acts of the Apostles. We've been marching through this book through most of July. And what we found is that the people who've been known as those first believers are following Jesus by sharing the good news anywhere and everywhere they can go. The church has been flourishing as people of all races and ages and stations are coming to faith in Jesus. And this little fledgling movement called the Way has truly taken off. But there is a nemesis to the faithful. His name is Saul of Tarsus. He was raised in the Jewish faith and declares himself a Pharisee of all Pharisees. He is also a Roman citizen and has huge standing with the authorities, so he has the favor to do whatever he pleases. And finally, Saul has received the finest of Greek educations. So in his day, he had the best of all worlds, the Jewish world, the Greek world, and the Roman world. And everything seems to be lining up and going his way. He's on mission, all right. He intends to wipe out the followers of Jesus before any of this movement really gets a foothold. He is among the chief persecutors of the faith. He hunts down and intends to destroy Christians. After a radical encounter with Jesus, though, his life literally does a 180. He's now become a champion for Christ, where once he ate Christians for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, he is now entering into sharing this life-changing good news with anyone who will listen. And for all of this trouble, this lands him in jail. Not just once, but many, many times. And now we catch up with him in yet another courtroom of sorts, and he has to explain to the authorities exactly what's going on. So join me, if you will, in Acts chapter 26, beginning in the 9th verse, as Paul begins to make his defense before the authorities. And here's what he says. I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. I tried to force them to blaspheme, in other words, to take the name of Jesus in vain. I made, in my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities and I persecuted them. This is so true. In Acts chapter 7, there's a follower of Jesus named Stephen, and he has been hunted down and he is stoned to death. As he sees heaven open up, as he's there on the ground, bloody and beaten, stones all around him, he literally sees Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, and he prays, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he prays, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says, and Saul was standing there giving his approval to this death. That's who we have before us today. Saul was not a nice guy at all. But he continues his testimony. Verse 12. One of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Now, I imagine when you got up this morning, you didn't think you'd hear the word goads in your daily activity, did you? In fact, I had to look up what this phrase meant. Back in the day, there were these long, sturdy sticks that were used to keep oxen in line. And if they began to rebel, they would kick against that goad, that stick, injuring themselves. So isn't it interesting when Jesus is addressing Saul in that bright light, transforming experience, he's not saying, you're persecuting me, you're hurting me, you're hurting those who believe in me. His first concern is for Saul. He's saying, you're hurting yourself more than anybody else. Yes, you've inflicted a lot of pain to the people in Jesus, but Jesus' first concern is for Saul. You know, sometimes when we rebel against God, the person we hurt the deepest and the most is us. Others can get over it, but we have to live with that very thing that we've done. Continuing, then Saul says, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Read the rest of it with me. So that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And this is so beautiful. Well, there's an amazing transformation and turnaround that's taking place. Now, Saul's name is a Hebrew name. Saul in Hebrew literally means to petition or inquire. It's associated with humility, like when you don't know something, you ask someone who does know. But Saul was anything but humble. He didn't really live up to that part of his name. He looked at his accomplishments and his degrees, if you will, and he thought, I don't need to answer to anybody. But after his conversion, he's not only known as Saul, but Paul, too. Paul is his Greek name. He's probably had it from birth. Paul will do great missionary work among the Gentiles, and so that's the name that he goes by most often in the New Testament. But do you know what Paul means? It means small. Now, not only in short of stature, but in the same way as the gospel says, he, Jesus, must increase and I must decrease, that's what Paul means. That small, like back off of you needing to have it all together, you needing to control it all, you needing to be the center of your universe and everybody else's. It's a great way for people of faith to see our lives. Jesus, increase your work, your life, your love in me, and let me decrease. Truth is, none of us have arrived, right? I mean, really, even if Siri has told you that you've arrived, you haven't really, truly arrived. And honestly, Siri gets frustrated with me, surprised that I ever get anywhere I'm supposed to go. We are all works in progress, but many of us have made strides forward. Think about what you were when you first accepted Jesus and the awkwardness of being a Christian and yet still having all those other things that were tearing at you and pulling at you. And I can think about what it was for me as a young person, a teenager, first knowing Jesus and where I'm at now. And there's no such thing as a better Christian, okay? But there's only Christian, and there were so many things in my life that pulled and competed for my affection and my attention. And can I just say, I'm so proud of the number of young people we have who have it way figured out over. Don't wait till you're my age to get it figured out. You got it going. Keep doing that. Keep going in those places that draw you closer and closer to Jesus. That's what this is about. Encouraging all of our generations to keep walking forward in faith. And you know what I love? There's an old evangelist who says, I'm not what I'm going to be, but praise God, I'm not what I used to be. Isn't that great? Praise God, we're not what we used to be. We continue moving forward in faith. And I love what Ruth Graham Bell says. She says, at the end of my life, I want you to place a tombstone, and on it, I want it to read, end of construction, thanks for your patience. So good, so good. So we have Paul, Saul here. He's a work in progress, just like all of us. He's now a devoted follower of Jesus. He's been transformed before the eyes of the ones who knew him before, and that's why they are interrogating him. And so it continues. Verse 19. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven that came from God. First to those in Damascus, and then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their, what's that last word? Deeds. And see, this is notable. In Hebrew, there is a word called debar, and it means word that becomes deed. Debar, word that becomes deed. It's reflected in John chapter 14, where it says, and the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. It's used often in the Old Testament when the phrase, the word of the Lord appeared. Like, how does word appear? I mean, wouldn't you say the word of the Lord was heard? But the word of the Lord appeared. Word becomes deed. It becomes manifest. It becomes life. And it reminds us that our words truly do have power. If you talk yourself down, don't be surprised when you feel down. If you can receive words of encouragement and build up, don't be surprised that your heart is lightened and the load feels less heavy. Truth is that there was a time when I didn't want to go to school. Just on one day, I loved going to school every day. I truly did. But there's one particular day, I don't even know the circumstance. Maybe there's a test and I hadn't studied for it. And so I got up early and I told my parents, I'm not really feeling well. I don't know. I know none of you ever have done this, but you like get the, you know, washcloth and you put it on your head and you look kind of mopey and sad. You don't eat all your cereal, you know. And so they let me stay home. And because I had told them several times throughout those few moments before going to school that I was sick, guess what happened? I really got sick. Talked myself into it. And that's what we're talking about here. When word becomes action or life, when it becomes manifest. Now, debar is that Hebrew concept that your confession will lead to repentance. Like there's a new way of living that's going to take place when you speak those words of, I want life, and then expect life to come your way. So Paul finally gets to his point in verse 21, and here's what he says. That's why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and they tried to kill me, but I've had God's help to this very day. And so I stand here testifying to small, see the play on words with his name, and great alike. I'm saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that Christ would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. And at this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense and said, you are out of your mind, Paul, he shouted. And that's the way our verse or our story ends today. But, you know, that last verse is not one of those go thou and do likewise kind of verses, right? Here's the point. Eventually, Paul is going to be found faultless by these leaders. He's going to be sent on to Caesar in Rome. In a Roman Empire where people lived and died on their confession, Caesar is Lord. A man now arrives proclaiming Christ is Lord. He will write and preach boldly from this point forward, Scripture reveals. Nearly half of our New Testament was written by this Saul, Paul, this one who once wanted to stamp out the Christian faith, now champions the faith and spreads it everywhere. People will listen. And so what are we to make of all this? None of us will write half of a New Testament or would even aspire to. But each of us do have a real life to live and a part to play in the kingdom of God. For some, it's coaching. For others, it's teaching. For some, it's music. And some, it's swinging a hammer. But everyone has a life that can bear influence in the world that we live in. And we can bring about love and devotion in the name of Jesus. But it's our choice to speak that word and then live it out in faith. And even from our earliest experiences, it seems that most of us have learned that the way we really impart something, it's more caught than taught, right? Like, we can talk about this, but really model it and show it. That's how it's best imparted. So my grandson is a joy in every way, and he is really a super loving little boy, and he's a good boy, and he's going to turn 2 in September, and at this moment, we're all supposed to go, ah, but you don't need to do that this morning. But if you remember this time, parents, for your kids, this can be a teething time, and it may be the reason that some people associate 2 with the word terrible, but I just want to say, I think 2s need to be called terrific, and wonder what kind of path that they would take if we really choose to believe that about them. And it is a challenging time for him because he is teething, but he's also potty training. It's just a fact of life, so we're going to talk about it here for just a few minutes, okay? Now, my daughter has all these friends who have kids, and so they pass on the collective information of what they've gathered as they've had children through stages, and she was the last of her friends to have children, so she's getting all the weight of the benefit of their knowledge, good and not so good. And this is not unlike how we're supposed to live as Christians in life together. Like, as you learn and as you grow, you don't hold on to that and hope somebody just discovers it for themselves, and if they stumble, you laugh. No, you want to help them not have to go down that difficult path. If you can keep them from going that way, like, if you know that direction just leads to a dead end, why would we want anyone to go there? As a Christian brother or sister, we want to encourage you to go in the way, and we may have gone through the school of lessons of hard knocks, but another doesn't have to do that. And I think that's so beautiful that these young mothers are imparting this kind of life experiences with one another, and that just so happens they are all believers in Jesus as well. Well, anyway, my grandson doesn't like dirty pants. He just doesn't want to have them. And so he's been telling his parents when he's dirty, and that decided, well, okay, if that's the case, let's try to potty train him at before 2. So I got this call the other day, and it went like this. We've gone to the bathroom at the museum. We've gone to the bathroom at the pool. We've gone to the bathroom at the library. And in a several-hour period, he had stayed dry all day. And you know what the secret is? He's been potty training a moose while they are potty training him. I mean, that's the wisdom that her friends imparted. If you want to help them, then put them in action. And so he's potty training the moose as he's being potty trained. And I think that's brilliant. Please don't let that be the only thing you take away from this morning. But it is. It's brilliant because it's exactly the same pattern the Bible shows us as we do faith and life together. Throughout all of these verses, we have Paul and Silas, and then Paul and Barnabas, and Paul and Timothy, and Paul and a group of people, but you never heard this one went it alone, and that one went it alone, and that one went it alone. Because when we go it alone, it's too easy for us to give up and get picked off. So my grandson is overzealous of sorts. The other day, he was not only potty training the moose, he had added in the dinosaur and the elephant and a tractor, because he loves tractors. But you get the point, right? We should enlarge our circles of faith. We debar, we speak, do the best that we can, and the best of our life is when we invite others to share in it, to walk with us in this journey. So I want you to imagine on the screen this morning 3 letters, R, W, M. And I want you to think about your R, W, M person. This is your rejoice with me, person. Remember when Jesus tells stories, and there's one about a woman who loses a coin, and there's one about a man who has 100 sheep and loses one of them, and there's another story about a father who has 2 sons and one goes away. In each of those stories, there's a moment when the lost thing or the lost person is found, and in each of those stories, there's a group of people called together, and they're told, rejoice with me. That's what I'm talking about. Who's your rejoice with me person? Who's that person that knows when great things are happening and stands by you when they're not? Who's your RWM? And if you don't have one, could you be one for somebody else until you get one? Because I think there may be somebody who needs you to be that for them too. So finally, Transformers is out with a brand new movie. It's just another. I'm sure there will be a sequel like Transformers 22 and a half. We'll see it someday in our lifetime. And Optimus Prime is the leader of the Transformers, and he had this famous saying when he led the Transformers out to fight the forces of evil, and he would say, transform and move out. And they would change from a car into the Transformer, and they would go take care of business as they fought evil. Now, isn't that the call of the Holy Spirit? Just keep transforming. Not that you ever arrive, but that you keep on letting Jesus shape you and change you and mold you and make you, and then move out, get going. Theologians down through the centuries, as they've looked at the book of Acts, said, what about the 29th chapter of Acts? If you've got your Bible today and you turn to the back of it, you'll discover that there is no 29th chapter of Acts. Or is there? Is it possible that God wants to continue to write this book through the lives of people who are dedicated to Jesus in such a way that they are empowered by the Holy Spirit to get out there, keep transforming and get moving, keep transforming and get moving? And if there were to be an Acts chapter 29, wouldn't it be incredible that we might live our lives in such a way that we could contribute a verse? In the name of Christ, amen. Let's pray. God, that we would learn the lesson of faith to not go life alone, to learn from others, to lead others, and to follow you. Jesus, what an exciting, beautiful, amazing adventure being a Christian can be. Lord, help us to blow the cobwebs off of our faith when it gets dull or predictable. Help us to hold on when the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding. Help us to decrease that your life in us may increase. All these lessons, Lord, write your word on our heart. Bring it into existence, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over the next few moments, there'll be a few folks up across the front available to pray with you about anything that may be on your hearts. Let's take these moments to be in conversation with God. I'd like to invite you to stand as you're able and receive this blessing, and thank you so much for being with us in worship. May I say that in these hot, hot days, if you find that your air conditioning has gone out at your home or there's some kind of issue along that line, please feel free to come up here and get cool. There's no reason for you to suffer at home, but we'd love to have you just hang out at the building. We won't put you to work, but we'll give you an opportunity to get out of that heat. So now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest mightily upon each of us now and forevermore. Amen. Go in God's grace and have a great and beautiful week, everybody.